Welcome to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. You already know, real examples altering lives. And back in studio today, my first ever guest, who I now call my good friend and actually, I guess, my partner,
yes.
Violeta Galagarza, founder of KR3Ts, which stands for Keep Rising to the Top. As many of you know from our previous interview, Violeta is an East Harlem native, Puerto Rican and proud, and has taken her pain and forged a purpose that has cut a path through so many lives, not only in East Harlem and in the New York City area, but throughout the country through her dance, choreography, and her mission to impact lives through her amazing organization. Welcome back to the show, Violeta. How are you, my love?
Just shocked and proud to see the elevation, and I'm feeling good that I'm back here because I'm a fan of the Real Mentors Podcast. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you, so much has happened since we first shot this. I want to say back in September, right?
Yeah.
It was like August, September, something like that, when we shot our first ever episode we started releasing in September, so August. And boy, I don't even know where to start. Tell us a little bit first and foremost about what's coming up in a couple of weeks. That's our 35th anniversary.
Yes, so we're actually celebrating our 35th anniversary with KR3Ts at Hostos College. It's a two-night event. Friday the 25th is just a show. And Saturday is VIP package where you have the pre-gala and then the show and then the party afterwards. So we have some hors d'oeuvres, drinks, performances. Great hosts on Friday is Ruperto Vanderpool, an amazing comedian who travels all over the world, works with Tracy Morgan.
Def Comedy Jam. I just saw him open up for Tracy Morgan. I've also seen him at local comedy circus.
Yes.
Funny as hell.
Performed for Prince.
Real.
Personally, Prince flew him out to his house.
Wow.
To perform because he loves his comedy.
Very cool.
Loved. You know, and then having Destroy for Saturday and making noise. He's been our host for years in the past. He's like, I got you. As busy as he is, he's done the Super Bowl, the NBA, the basketball, Eminem, host for Miri Ben-Ari.
So DJ Destroy, keeping it live
host
on Saturday
Destroy.
Night.
Host
Destroy,
comedian and actor.
That's right. He does it all.
Yes.
And then closing out on Saturday night, none other
with
than
Curtis Blow. Like, come on. He's the one that got us dancing, hopping, you know, representing the hip hop world and the stuff he's done, the movies, Cold Crush. And it's funny that I'm working with Tony Moran from the Latin Rascals. And he's telling me, well, you know, Curtis Blow was my first boss. And then I'm telling Curtis Blow, he's like, I love Tony. He made my music great and this and that.
It's crazy. I was watching a Run DMC documentary the other day, I don't know where, what streaming channel, whatever. And they got into, you know, Curtis Blow and how he actually had, I think Rev Run was working under him and broke his hand or something like that. So he wasn't able to go on tour with Curtis when Curtis was popping.
Wow.
And God always has a plan. And obviously this is before Run DMC, but then Run DMC came around.
Yes.
And obviously everything changed after that. So this is just a little something. So come out and support April 25th, 26th, Friday and Saturday night, Hostos Community College in the heart of the Bronx. Anybody who's not from the Bronx, you may have a bad impression about us and our borough, but let me tell you, it's not going to be anything but love, safety and security down there.
Production.
Please come out and support. This is not just a dance show. This is just everything rolled into one. Pre-party, entertainment, comedy, music. People are going to be dancing in the aisles. And then to top it off, you've got these amazing young adults that Violeta has worked with and nurtured and schooled and also learned from. Because there's so many different styles that they bring to the table, and they're going to entertain the shit out of all of us that night. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to push this to come out, you know, in advance of that. So let's make sure we don't mess up so we don't have to edit too much and we get this thing published. But I wanted to go back because I learned about you, and we were just telling our producer here about how we met. And thank you to social media. I was running an ad for one of my random posts that was doing well, and Violeta just reached out to me, and I'll let you tell the story.
Yes, I was just amazed seeing a Latino at a platform and speaking his life experience and saying, oh my God, that he's the male of me. And I really need to applaud that. And I need a male figure in my company because I can't just be the tough one there. And I'm like, he would be perfect. That voice is strong, scary, tall guy. Don't listen to him too. And when I reached out to you and I asked you and I told you, well, let me just introduce myself who I am. I'm sorry, this is what I do. And then you was like, wait. And I said, what do you do? And you told me, and I said, can you come one day to visit us and just speak to these individuals to be inspired? And you was like, wait, hearing the story. And you like, you know, I'm doing a podcast, and I think if you're interested, and I'm like, yes, I am. And I was ready for it. And then that's when you did this interview, not knowing my whole story.
Right.
And then
we got, yeah, we
more
got
more deeper. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we got, I mean, it's crazy because I was on this path where I'm thinking, all right, I want to help. How do I help? And I just start, like I tell everybody, just start doing something, right? I just had a guest on a couple episodes ago earlier today, and he wants to start a podcast, and we were busting his chops. Like, just start. Just start. And the testament to that is I just started. I wanted to do a podcast. I wanted to give back. I didn't know how. You reach out to me to speak. I say, yeah, cool. But, hey, how about you be a guest on the podcast? Because your story is a perfect story. And if you haven't heard it, go back. She's one of our first, she's our first episode we actually shot. I believe you were the third episode we ever released, though. So she's the third episode, but that's irrelevant. What's happened since then is nothing short of pure magic. And I got to tell the story because when you decide to step into your purpose and do the right thing, do God's work.
Yes.
The red carpet rolls out for you. And it's done so for me and Violetta in ways that I can guess for you, but for me, I would have never have imagined. So fast forward, I do go to that night and I come see what you do, and it was amazing. And she, you know, I reluctantly spoke. She put me on the spot to speak to the dancers in the studio in between dancing. And you know, apparently I had an impact. A couple of them reached out to me personally on DM and just thanked me for the things that I said. So thank you for the opportunity. And I don't know what happened after that, but we kind of, you know, we just got back to doing what we do. You doing what you do and I'm doing what I do. And all the while, you're looking for a new home because your dance studio was essentially a space that was kind of gifted to you. You know, you've been operating for 35 years in a space where you've been in different spaces, and it's been connected to people's generosity in the community. Yes. With bigger organizations or real estate or space that they could loan to you or give to you for an affordable price that the organization could afford, being that you're a small nonprofit. And all of these things set up the story for me, hiking the Grand Canyon, doing some white people shit, as I affectionately always say, because nobody where I come from goes hiking in the Grand Canyon.
No, I never.
So we reached the south part of the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and there's hotels there, some rinky-dink hotels and a cable, and it's 11 at night, so it's 2 in the morning in New York, because it's a 3-hour time difference, and I've got the MTV Music Awards playing in the background. That was the night that the last one hosted. And again, it's 11 at night. I'm exhausted. I've hiked all day, but I'm on a high because I just did something amazing. And I look up for a second, and who do I see but Violetta introducing the one and only Karol G, and her son was doing the choreography.
No, behind, dancing, freestyle.
Dancing, okay.
Yeah, performing.
He was dancing, doing Lightfoot. With
Light
his
feet.
Light feet, excuse me.
Daniel Polanco was the choreographer.
I apologize, no. I'm still learning, but the point is, like, how is that possible, right? How is it somebody who reached out to me randomly and then becomes my first guest and then invites me to speak and then we don't touch base and then I see her introducing Karol G while I'm in the Grand Canyon on the MTV Music Awards replay, you know, probably the third replay at that point. And I was just like, all right, God, I'm listening. You put us together and I'm supposed to help Violetta attain some of the things that maybe her organization hasn't. And since then, it has been, I mean, nothing but just pure magic. And that's why we have the smiles that we have on our faces.
Right.
And this doesn't need to be rehearsed because it's just, It's all love. And I guess I'll let you pick up from that point. I don't know what happened after that, but in terms of immediately after
that. So during that time, we was doing the residency, preparing for the Guggenheim. Sometimes my dancers joke on me because I say Guggenheim. I'm like, did I say that? So the Guggenheim, we was preparing. We was away for 2 weeks, and then I get a call about the Carol G, and it was like, you know, say this in Spanish. And I'm like, what? For what? They didn't even tell me it was for Carol G. And it was Danielle Polanco, God bless her. And she was like, this would be perfect. You, they want an older woman. I was like, all right, whatever you want me to do, I got it. And I did it during the times of the residency. And I was like, I'm not going to tell nobody. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it shows, it shows. All I did was tell people, hey, Noah's performing. Don't forget to see the VMAs.
Right.
And then everybody was shocked to seeing that. And after that, we had to come back and prepare for our Thanksgiving, and I was telling you,
that's right. Yep.
And you was like, Polly, what is it? So what do you need? What are you doing? And I said, usually I give pernil, turkey, and ham. I'm trying to figure it out. Oh, well, let me see what I can do. Let me make some calls and da-da-da-da. And we prepare that, and you sponsored and supported us in getting those turkeys, which from, I think, 80 people that I had became 120 people that showed up. And we had to figure it out, and we fell through. It was great. We was giving a workshop series of different styles.
Yes, you had the kids out from Germany at that time.
Yes, people from Germany, from France, and
Berlin. So just to let you know that her name rings bells around the world. She literally had a dance company come from Germany to train with you and study with
you. To experience. So it was a group of dancers, actors, singers, writers, poets. They wanted, it was like an exchange.
Right.
So they can see what we do in New York. And
real New York hip-hop flavor. That obviously they get hip-hop there, but right, it's a different version.
Right. They get the organic here, there. Right?
Yeah. It's not that pure. It's cut up.
Right, big time. So, I've done that many times. I had dancers that flew in from France, 40 dancers, just to train with us and experience that whole vibe and growth experience. But then after that, that's when the Christmas, and, you just kept getting involved and inspiring me, too, and, you know, pushing me and, like, challenging me. And I'm like, look, I have a meeting. I found this space. I don't know. I would want you to come. That was in September. And you came.
Yeah, and I came.
You came. And you was like, okay, so when? I see this is all cement floors. How are you going to dance? I'm like, look at this guy. He's not even a dancer, but he knows. Because, you know, we go to places and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to explain to them if they can get us a wood floor or how. And you was like, we need wood floors. I mean, isn't there a specific type of? I'm like, wow, yes, it is. He was like, okay, so when can we get this in? Do you know anybody? We got to get this in. And I'm like, wow, okay. We got somebody for real. And then it was brick cold, 17 degrees, and trying to get the space to see if we could work in it. Because starting January, we had to prepare for the anniversary, as well as the Guggenheim performance.
Yeah, which was epic. Museum. When was the Guggenheim performance?
January 19, something like that.
I have so much stuff going on. But anytime you pick up the phone, and she's like, I don't want to bother you. And I'm like, it's never a bother. Like, I when I love somebody, you got all of me. And, you know, I love you. I fell in love with what you do, the organization. So if you need something, you know, I have the resources, which, you know, it may seem like a stretch to you. And I'm blessed enough that it's not a stretch for me. So if you ask me for this dollar amount, which would scare you, it doesn't scare me. Because, you know, I'm blessed enough to have it, but I've also taken huge risk. And that's what I'm trying to show you is that you've been doing this for 35 years and you haven't found a home, right? And this is a huge step and hopefully this is home forever. But, you know, it's never been something under your own roof, right?
And limited.
I'm a person that truly says, well, we need to look in the mirror and see what role I play in this. And you've been amazing in that. You've basically grinded for the better part of 3 decades, almost 4. Mm-hmm. You still look great for 25. How did I know she's going to say that? So, I mean, when you deserve more. The organization deserves more. The community deserves more. And the kids and the young adults that you service deserve more. Just like so many people where we come from deserve more. But they just don't know how to get it. They don't know how to go about it. There's not a blueprint for it. So you've just muscled your way through love and generosity. And that struck a chord with me. My mom was somebody that would open up her door and you could, you know, you came home from jail. All right, we'll get you on your feet for a few months till you find an apartment and parole officers check in. And okay, you know, this is family. So, right. You know, I grew up and this was the norm. And then a cousin, all right, they have beef with their mom or the dad. Or they're out of the house. Come stay with us. So, you know, the cousins came to live with us. My mother's door was always open and yours is always open for your dancers. And when I got to know you even more, you know, you literally have taken some of these young adults and put them up in your home. And it's not a big home.
No.
But you're generous enough to share your home because you know the alternative is this person will be in the street. This person will be susceptible to God knows what. And you've seen it all and you've been through a lot. And you don't want that to fall on them. So that generosity deserves to be rewarded. And unfortunately, I don't want to say our community because I think it's life. People give empty promises. And you talked about how many people come through the organization and they love it and so great and they never donate a dollar or do a damn thing for you. And I'm not that guy. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And that's not to big myself up. That's just because I want to set an example for others. And just because, you know, you're somebody who's been doing this for 35 years, that doesn't mean that you can't learn something new.
Yeah, but you know what you know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, having watched you grind through some of the things, and I kind of tell you something as silly as finding, like every night you drive home and you got to look for parking in the street in Harlem.
At like 2
in the morning. And I'm like, girl, you're out of your fucking mind. You need to get a parking spot. Even if it's $400, you need to do that. And something so simple as that is a transition in thinking for you because you're like, okay, well, that $400 could go to pay a choreographer this week. So that $400 can't go to my parking. That's somebody who puts others in front of themselves.
Right.
So I'd be not a good person and not true to who I claim to be if I didn't answer the call whenever you decided that, you know, you needed something from me. And then, you know, this space through the generosity of, you know, CCADI and Melody Capote has allowed KR3T's a home. And, you know, there was no dance floor. And you're looking at this space and you're like, okay, this is space is great and it's big and it's high ceilings, but and we're gonna dance on concrete so we can figure out how to get a floor. And I said, no, you're not. You're fucking crazy. Like you bust your knees.
I said, I spoke to the choreographers and they're ready. We're gonna eat that.
Yeah, and you did. For like the first week before the floor started getting laid down, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were dancing on concrete, which is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention it was like 17 degrees because there was some debates about who's going to set up the heating with the building and all that other shit, but that got resolved.
We're looking for heaters.
We're looking for heaters and everything. So long story longer, we were able to secure 1,000+ square foot dance floor, hardwood, reinforced, double spring because, you know, we need to give that
support
for the dancers. And now we have what is the origins of hopefully a community center that is going to serve East Harlem for decades and generations to come through the collaboration of not only KR3Ts and CCADI, but all kinds of artists and creatives in the neighborhood. And I get to selfishly say that I was part of that.
That's right, because he was big time.
And I didn't do it for any bragging rights. I could care less if anybody knows. But I saw the joy on the faces of the dancers and, I mean, just you getting up. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I cried and I didn't mean to cry when I sent you that video, but it already started. Reality hit me and I was like, oh, my God, this is really happening. I know it's still going to be a fight as we go, as I've done for 35 years, but I finally have a home halfway. We got, instead of 2 days, it's 4 days. Instead of 4 hours, it's 6 hours. or 7 hours. You know, now we're able to create. We have programs now. Right now, Tony Moran called me last minute on Tuesday. Oh, I heard you're the one to call. And,
right.
And then we're talking on Sunday night, 12 midnight, like I don't sleep. And that's where he's like, I'm getting the dancers texting them, hey, anybody's interested, da da da. Monday, we have practice from 4 to 10, then work with Tony Moran's dancers. You know, and it's if it wasn't for that, this chance to take a leap of faith and Violet, just go.
Right.
You. That's all I hear in the brains. Violet, no, Violet, go, do it. And that's when I was like, oh my God, we're getting these floors done. I see those Brazilian guys on that working hard and I'm there like, yeah. But I'm ready, I'm gonna eat that. And when I got in the car to say thank you to you, it just hit me. And I was like, oh my God, I could tell my kids I finally, I still gotta do it. But I did it.
We took the next step. We took a few steps into the journey, mm-hmm. the new journey. And, you know, it's great because you have not only doubled the time that you're able to work with your choreographers, but now we've opened up the door for introducing programs,
yes.
introducing hopefully young people in the neighborhood mm-hmm. to come in and learn dance from the ground up as opposed yes. to being skilled dancers. We're looking to, with the help of some of the members of the group, Christella, shout out to you, who's also yes. a board member, and studying for her, what is
thesis,
it?
Thesis, NYC,
right now.
From NYC.
NYU grad, mm-hmm. Who's doing her thesis on the powers of dance
yes.
and how it's actually helped her overcome her physical ailments from lupus
mm-hmm.
and also the emotional impact that it's had on all the dancers. Because dance is movement. And when you're dancing, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who's worried about sadness or depression or the thing that might happen next week that doesn't serve them in the moment. It's freeing. So dance is like probably the ultimate expression of human movement.
Mm-hmm.
And
medicine.
What more of a powerful way? And medicine. Mm-hmm. And you have people that have chronic ailments who are healed even if temporarily through dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we've seen like trainers like Freddie Roach with Parkinson's and he still does the pad work for the boxers and that's kept him able to function longer. And there's no difference between lupus or some of the other neurological diseases that some of your students have. And they've been able to use dance to combat that naturally without the use of any drugs or anything like that. So we want to enhance and scale the reach of the organization. And the crazy part is it hasn't even been 6 months.
And a lot happened.
So when you get crazy, I'm like, we got time. Girl's only been 6 months. But she's so passionate and so excited. And she just wants to realize this amazing vision. But I also know it's going to take patience. It's going to take time. So, you know, we learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
We learn from mm-hmm. each other. I learn from you what's possible when somebody leaves with their heart.
Right.
And doesn't concern themselves with money.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to teach you that you deserve all the spoils that the world has to offer because you've led with their heart for so long. And all those things will come. And I explained to you the other day that I learned that, you know, amen, basically means it is done. So sometimes we'll finish our phone calls and just say amen
mm-hmm.
because it is done. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen a month from now.
It will be.
But it's going to happen. It will be. Right? Or there it is, or it will be. I know that it basically means it is done. All right? However you want to translate it, it means trust the process. It's already done. It's just you have to now put in the work to get there. And I know putting in the work is something that you and your dancers do so diligently.
I truly appreciate you, Sean, because not only towards me, but I've seen your other podcasts so inspiring. And even the unspoken, the voiceless, or people that really executed and done stuff in their business or life and is not spoken. You don't hear this in the podcasts that I've seen or people have spoken about. And it's not, or they had to be already famous to finally get to hear their story. And it didn't happen there. It happened then, before, you know, the rawness and seeing the growth after to inspire people.
Right.
People that already got it, being a superstar, don't, you know, like, I've been there, did that, done that, and it's not even about that. It's about what can we do to continue to be the voice for the voiceless. So I am so happy that I met you and we came this far since August.
Right.
We got to do the 1 year anniversary.
Just imagine what's going to happen in 2 years or 10 years. And, you know, my ultimate goal, I say it proudly, is to 10X what you're doing now. And 10X is like a very popular, you know, let's do 10 times what we're doing. Not double, not triple, let's 10X. But 10X for an organization like this means that we can impact 10 times as many lives. So it's one thing to grow a business for profit, and it's another to grow an organization for impact. And you have allowed me that opportunity. She has generously named me president and chair of the organization, which I was a little afraid of, if I'm being honest, that I never told you that. Mm. But I was like, fuck, like, do I deserve this? How can I help? But it also is like, okay, this is what you wanted. You met the right person. Now you have a platform in the podcast, but you also have a responsibility to an organization. And sometimes we need to be like, you know, like I've done that for you. And I'm going to let you know now that you did that for me by naming me the president of the organization, which I'm very proud of. Thank you. We just closed the deal on selling a couple tickets to somebody who was on the podcast before you. Because when we said Curtis Blow, she's like, I'm there. Say no more. And, you know, life is a journey. And I want to revisit briefly your journey. For anybody who may not have seen the original podcast, your story did not start with, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Mm-hmm. It started with pain, which you turned, you know, gallantly into purpose through dance. But bring us back to, you know, your teenage years or even earlier than that and some of the things that you overcame to get where you are today.
So being raised and born in El Barrio, I was adopted. I went through domestic violence. I almost, at one point at a young age, committed suicide, right? Being young, taking pills, but it was a funny part of my story on that. But through those challenges brought me to something beyond of what my purpose was. And I thought I had to be with God all that time because I thought I was, you know, my mom was going to get an abortion, and my aunt was like, no, you're not. The baby's already formed 6 months. I think we should keep the child. And she's like, no, well, I can't afford. I have five other mouths to feed. I can't afford this one. And, you know, she challenged her, and she said, let me just take the child. And, you know, I lost my daughter, Violeta. And she was like, well, what happens if it's a boy? Then I'm stuck with it. And my aunt was like, I don't care whether it's a boy or girl. I'll take the child. Not knowing 3 months later, she convinced her and my mom gave birth and it was me. And my aunt named me after her daughter Violeta, who passed away heart murmur at 4 years old. So during knowing, wanting to know, and later on at 7 years old, 9 years old, my real sisters tell me, oh, you know, you was adopted, right? You know, I'm your real sister and da 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 da. And I'm like, no, you're not. That Elena, that's my mom, you know. The stuff that I had to go through during those time, and then to actually ask my aunt what really happened, tell me the truth, you know? And she's like, yeah, that is your mom. And I'm like, no, she's not. Like, I was in a denial because she was so mean, my real mom. And she was actually my aunt. And, you know, then I had to ask stories, why, what happened? And I still forgave her when I seen her, see my aunt. She never called me to wish me happy birthdays or Christmas. I didn't care of that. I just still treated her as a human being. And then my mom, stepmom, and who raised me, my mother, she challenged me, you know, and took me. And then at 15, I became, again, went through the same situation my mom went through. And she was like, you lay on the bed, now you make it. Right. You better go to school. You're going to continue to do what you got to do. And have that child. And I was like, no, I want to graduate. I want to this. I want to be the best dancer in the world. And that didn't happen. God had a purpose, a mission. And I said, well, if I'm not going to be accepted in Alvinelli anymore, that I had that scholarship and I was doing great there,
right.
Now I'm a thick Latina. They're not going to accept me. But it's all right. I'm doing El Barrio. And I did it at the age of 17 after my crisis of what I went through. And that director challenged me at the age of 17. Either you do a Broadway show or you do the work with those girls, portable floors, and do what you got to do. And I was like, no, I'll do the Broadway show, not knowing what I was doing. But I did it. And with, you know, legends that are out here now, Test Move, Gbo the Pro, who gave me their equipment. I host the show. I did choreography, nine choreography, being a single mom at 17 and being the host, doing flequitos, selling cake sales.
Right.
Now I look for sponsors to get us costumes, you know, with those cake sales. It was sold out, you know, from 15 dances to 60 dances in 3 months. 360 people came. The director was in the middle sitting down to see this Broadway show and later on to find out that... James, sorry, it's not what it is, but do you like it? He was like, it's great. I love it. Are you ready for next year? And I'm like, hell no. I'm
done. Right. With all
this
that
is
work.
Too much. I'm not doing this, but it's the 35 years that we're actually celebrating this month. And now I'm passing that challenge to my dancers and choreographers and showing them ways of support that I never got, the guidance that I never got. Nobody told me. We didn't have Google or right. Instagram, none of that. So I'm going to teach you to outmaster me. I'm going to teach you and guide you, whoever, whatever that's stopping you from what your purpose is, I'm going to help you as much as I can. And I think it's so important to pass down the gems, like, you know, what you do and knowledge and, you know, give the experience. Like when you brought me to Tony Robbins, you was like, your mind has to be bigger than what you think it is. Stop thinking small. And I'm like, I am. When I went there, I was like, wow.
Right.
You know,
13,000 people sitting here for some personal development. There's no music and everybody wilding out. Yeah.
Energy. I'm like, I need my dancers here.
Right.
You know, Different experience. So what you did for me is what exactly what we need. And I'm able to try to find those ways for my dancers. And these dancers are not just wanting to be with Chris Brown, Beyonce and all. They have a story too, like right. me. And, you know, you have dancers that are suffering from lupus, from sickle cell, from seizures. It's crazy. God is bringing me all these people. Right. One, you know, disabled, but able to do it all.
Literally taking them off the streets.
Yes. Yes. I have two of them.
Let me go back to James. James was the gentleman who gave you the Broadway ultimatum slash opportunity. What's his last name?
Solar.
James Solar. Can we give James Solar his flowers?
Yes, always. We honored him before he passed.
Okay, well, rest in peace, sir. Your words and your encouragement has not only changed Violeta's life, but the lives of countless other, you know, young adults and dancers, and now indirectly my life as well. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you, my brother. Rest
in
peace.
He's the one that helped me with my bylaws. We would sit down when we had our meeting and writing, me and you, that's what he would do, write with me. And he was like, no, we're going to protect this organization. We want to make sure that nothing happens or anybody takes it. You know, you didn't build this all to where it's at. And even when he had dementia, that's when I finally seen him 5 years ago with his wife. She's still alive. She was going to come to the show, but she's not this week, not going to be there that week. But I went to visit him, and he was like, Violet, yes, that voice sounds familiar. He remembered my voice, but of course he's not going to remember totally. Right, and he would tell me that, I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'm like, it's okay, James, but I know you.
Right.
You know.
Now, who was James to you?
He was the director of LaGuardia Corsi House.
LaGuardia Corsi is what?
In 116, it was a community center. Now okay. It's called SCAN. And that's where everybody used to go play basketball. The gym is there.
It's like a community center,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's where I used to practice.
Okay.
So he allowed me a space there, and then he challenged me. And I'm like, well, he's doing? I want to dance.
So who are some of the early people that you work with in the industry? And when did you get your first shot, you know, in terms of your own professional dance career?
Oh, at a young age, I went on tour with General. I was doing choreography for him, the video Muevelo Muevelo.
Mm-hmm.
those two dancers. One is my sister and Karen, my dancer. They were performing. I choreographed that. Went on tour with him. A lot of artists in the Latin world, the hip hop world.
Freestyle
Joe
as well.
Joe from Jive Records, Freestyle. Lisa Melendez.
R&B, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I Wanna Know video.
Yeah, yeah. That's my high school.
I know. I love him. Right, he's a great artist to work with. Very respectful. I was shocked that I was pregnant from Noah, and I had to hold my stomach. They was like, are you good under pressure doing a song? I'm like, yes. And they was like, okay, can you do something in one day if we give you the song? I was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's the song? I hope it's a known song. And he was like, when I got the song, it wasn't his known song. It was called 5-6-5-7-8, I think it was. But I killed that. And he came to the studio, and he was like, telling the other choreographer, I love that, Dwayne Whitley. That's amazing. You did that? He was like, no, she did that. He was like, can I speak to her? And we spoke, and he gave me my flowers there, and I'm holding my stomach in with a baggy pants, jersey, doing the choreography, killed it, and they didn't know I was pregnant. But one of the dancers picked me up happy because we finished it. And I was like, the baby. And he was like, the baby? You're pregnant? I was like, but I finished. We good. Y'all good.
And
like,
y'all didn't even know it.
Right. So that was a great experience. And performing in Canada, doing the Just for Laughs festival. And, you know, these people are tough. French people, they don't play. Like, mm-hmm. their reputation, and they're not here to play anyway. So I went and I did choreography out there with 8 dancers. I had to teach 92 dancers that didn't speak French, and maybe 2 of them I was able to help me.
Right.
And at that time, that's when I did the Lumi D video. Uh-oh. So one of them recognized, oh, my God, Lumi D.
I got to go back and watch all these things that I didn't see you in growing up. That's so funny.
And they were like, oh, my God. I was like, okay, I got to prepare this choreography in 2 days. In Canada, in Montreal. And then the director from the show is like MTV, but the Just for Laughs MTV.
Gotcha.
And they were like, look, I'm preparing you. He curses. He's mean. He's this. He's going to come see your work. I'm like, it's all right. I'm from New York. Don't worry. I eat those. But when he came out, he's tough. I was like, oh, my God. Be ready. Be ready. So I did the choreography. They thought we needed 8 hours. I did it in 4 hours. 92 dancers. An 8-minute show. I had half with my company, and he saw it, and he's there looking. And when we finished, I'm waiting for him to curse at me like she was telling me. And he looked at me and goes, oh, bonsoir, Violeta. Yeah, I was like, so nothing, everything's good? He was like, no, great. I'll see you tomorrow at the tech. And I said, oh, and I'm looking at Constant. I'm like,
scared the shit out of me.
Right. So we went the next day. He was cursing everybody out in that stage. Well, whatever he's saying. But then when it came to my name, Violeta. And it was like, Violeta. Francois, I forgot his name, is looking for you. And I was like, I'm here. He goes, okay, Violeta, we want you to do the stage with the 92 dancers. And I want them to come from the center. It looks like, sorry to say, I don't want to sound, he said, like coming out the vagina. It was like that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But
you
I was like,
be authentic
what?
If
yeah,
that's
this
what he
is
said.
What, that's what he said. And I
we're
said, okay,
these dancers.
Right. They got to come through here. How are you going to do that? Do it in 15 minutes. And I'm like, he's cursing everybody out. And he was, Violeta. He's all happy because to his eyes, I got this. But I did it. Yeah. I held that down. I had B-Boy Speedy.
Where's your ability to handle pressure like that come from? Obviously, it's a high pressure dance world, but there's got to be some things early in your life that shaped you, because not everybody, you know, pressure bust pipes and it definitely crumbles a lot of people, but right. You are able to hold your own in a very high stress environment. What do you attribute that to?
I spiritually, I think, you know, my little Violeta who's with me, I think she's guiding me, and God, the universe, the energy that I follow or obeying and disciplining. And if you're going to be in that position, you got to be ready for these challenges. Right. You know, like you say, you pay for what you get what you pay for, right? So if I'm gonna be in this position, you gotta be ready for what comes with it. So I can't cry about it. I can't, you know, and it might be something like, oh my God, how I'm gonna do it, but I'm not gonna show them that. I'm like, I got this.
You mentioned being pregnant with your son Noah during the Joe video shoot. And I just wanna spend a minute on Noah. Only because I don't know him that well. Mm-hmm. I love his energy when we do run into each other, and his dance is absolutely amazing. And he's carved his own lane out, literally carved out his own lane. What did that progression look like? Because I see him dancing. He was the youngest B-boy, which you're extremely proud of, as you should be. And then I'll leave you with this before I hand it over. But, you know, I knew because she said, oh, you know, In the Heights, Noah was a big part of In the Heights. And I had seen the movie, but, you know, it just didn't compute to me. So on a flight home the other day, I decide to put on In the Heights. And I didn't realize what a big role he had in the movie. Like, he was a main character in the movie. And then I got to see you in the hair salon scene. And it was just so cool. Because like I said, I would have to go back into all these music videos like Lumi D and Uh-Oh, because I saw that whole thing blow in the Bronx.
Too.
And when I got to see Ted Smooth at the ribbon cutting, you know, he was chill. He was like just at home. He looked like Uncle Ted in the place. But, you know, he didn't know who the fuck I was. Right. I was just like, hey, Ted, nice to meet you, Sean. I just want to say what's up. I used to be chilling at Roombas on Monday with all the drug dealers when you were launching that record. And we just had a quick laugh.
There.
Yeah, we just had a quick laugh about that. But it's crazy to go back and we've all seen you. Just unknowingly. And, you know, it gives me a new appreciation for all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. And nobody's like, oh, that's Violetta, because the attention is on the artist. Mm-hmm. But without that support system, you don't get to build that brand of that artist. Or, you know, Chris Brown, obviously one of the best performer dancers in the game, our generation or otherwise. But he always has some of the most talented people around him.
So with Noah, he was my studio baby, you know, and my other two boys as well. Wherever I went, I taught, I teach, my rehearsals, they were with me. And I never forced it down to them, but they saw the energy and they shared and they had fun with it. But Noah would be that little one, 1.5 years old, running when I'm about to do the routines. And then when we play the music, he's just doing it. Or if you're my guest and there's a piece that we're doing and somebody's missing, and I'll tell you, hey, in this part, there's somebody that's supposed to, and Noah comes in. 2 years old, three, doing the Latin. Oh, that's the girl's part. He knows everything. Or the skits that I used to do, because in my anniversaries, I used to have skit show. And he's in the VHS pressing rewind and learning my words, the Tony Montana, the skits that I did. I got him on film. I got to send you that. Him imitating our show, like Tony Montana, at 2 years old. And seeing that, I was like, oh, my God, he's doing his spins on concrete at 2 years old. Locking, you know, being inspired by the rest of my dancers and us rehearsing. And spiritually, it was just like, let it go. Just let him be, because that's dangerous. Right. I know, I remember the movie Breaking. They said the kid that did the headspins broke his neck, something like that. So I was like, wow, you know, just go with the flow. No, you want to perform? We're doing competition. You want candy? Let's go. Like, he's young.
You got cheap labor.
You could do this. And then from there, seeing him, and now people from China coming, flying in to interview Noah at 3 years old. El show de Cristina, Rojo Vivo, Despierta America. Being inspired, seeing this young kid learning all this dance and dancing in front of 60,000 people on tour with Ventura
shows, right?
On stage, and hearing all these ladies screaming for him. And he's like, what's going on, Ma? But he's in his moment, in his journey. And then, you know, he never missed a day, even sick, still at practice, still rehearsing, and all those dancers from back in the days know that.
That's one of the things I spoke on when we were at the ribbon cutting was, I told them that you guys may not be aware of it, but the work that you're putting in is the blueprint for success. Now, whether or not you can become successful, there's so many factors involved in that, but I love the fact that in order to excel at dance, like excelling at anything, you have to put in the time, you have to put in the work, you have to practice, you have to show up. And so many of your students come from all over the area to get there twice a week for your KR3T stuff. And
far.
Very far. We're talking hour and a half, 2 hours each way sometimes on the train. Nobody here is breaking the bank in terms of the money that they're making. They're just sucking wind or getting along, but they do it for the love.
And their computer while rehearsing, they're submitting their deadlines, college stuff.
And they go to school. Some of them are working. We have one student that is a law student, the young Indian girl.
Yeah.
That's a law student, pre-law. And her parents obviously like, what the hell are you doing in East Harlem?
Right.
You're supposed to go to school and study. And she just finds so much joy and passion in it. Because like I said, dance is the ultimate form of human physical movement and
that
expression. And you've been able to do that for such a wide range of different young people. What do you envision for the future of KR3Ts? Without limitations.
Right. Well, me is basically that they can actually take in my purpose, like receive why I do what I do so that they can feel or pass down. Sometimes I give my choreographers these individuals in situations and then later on I'll be like, remember that was you? And they're like, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I can't. You know, he doesn't. I'm like, hey, that was you one time when you used to come to me, remember?
Man, you were hard-headed.
You're right, V. I'm like, and where is he? He's the famous dancer, Eric Negron. People bullied him. People overlooked him. And look where he's at now, traveling all over the world. So you never know these dancers that look up to you, that you're training, who they're going to be. One of them is a cake maker now. Now she does my cakes. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
She's like, Violet, you did this for me, and I need to give back. You saved my life. So it's like you never know who you're touching.
Yeah.
And it don't have to be me. I'm not the one that's going to continue to do this. You guys got to now not be selfish and pass down what was given to you. And Noah's one, I let him be you're my son, but you're not going to be the leader. You're not going to be taking over the company. You're going to be just like everyone else. So he respects it, earns that it wasn't given because, oh, my mom.
Right.
You know, or I'm the boss. I choose. No, it's not going to happen.
Right, he's part of the crew.
He's
pretty and humble from every interaction we've had.
Right.
Especially
no matter
for someone
what
so
he's
young
done,
who's done so much.
Exactly.
He's very
traveling
humble,
all over.
Very cool, silly. Like, he's a young, what is he, 20 what?
24.
He's a baby. So,
yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day,
he's
having fun.
Right.
And enjoying life.
Being
he gets
a
to
dad.
See the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dad. How old is your grandkid?
5 years old.
Is he picking up? I see him dancing too already.
I'm so surprised.
No headstands.
Oh
I haven't seen headstands yet.
Not yet. Headspins, none of that. He's good where he's at. But the fact that he's able to now have his own lane and a platform, you know, with the Light Feet. Before it was called Get Light. And even at his age, at 6, 7, you know, we have people press in the Latin world, hip hop world, and media to interview him because you didn't see that back then.
Right.
You didn't see a young one dancing, performing like he was performing, like he was a professional. So them seeing that is another challenge to show others, like, guy, he's been doing it, you can do it. Some parents are like, oh, my kid, he's only 2, he's 4. I don't think I'll wait till he's 8. I'm like, if they're good, I think you should have, you need to do it. Don't hesitate. If they're marking the walls, that's an artist. You don't know what that kid is going to be.
Right.
Get the tools, get the people that connect. So, you know, I think with these individuals, seeing them not only as a dancer, you're going to be mentors.
Right.
You're going to be the ones that they look up to, artists, filmmakers, photographers, you know, you donated. They got happy when you donated the camera. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, now we can do a podcast. So I'm like.
And it's crazy. I didn't even understand the value. There were just 2 older cameras, which are very good cameras, but I have nicer cameras now.
Right.
And I was just like, do you think we could use this? And they'd be like, hell yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, those are.
For the little girls now.
Great
we're
going
to do little mini, the mini podcast for the young ones.
And I'm just so excited to. You know, I wanted to start a nonprofit, and I, you know, said this a million times to you and anybody. It's like, too much red tape for me. And I see what you're going through now that I'm involved with the organization. I'm like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
It's just so much stuff, let's just say, and people. It's just human nature, right? It's cutthroat. Mm-hmm. People competing for limited resources. If we take it a step further, it's people of color with a limited mindset competing for limited resources. Yes. And then we cut our own throats and we don't know how to work together. And I'm just like, none of this is going to slow me down. We're going to find our own lane, mm-hmm. just like Noah was able to do, bringing it full circle, because he was allowed to do his own right. thing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do our own thing.
Yes.
And we're going to find our own lane, and we're going to find our own sponsors, and we're going to find our own donors from places that people have not looked before, because the reality is those doors are not closed, but they're open for a select few. And you got to kind of sell a bit of yourself off to get a piece of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're willing to compromise the mission to do that. So we're going to do whatever we need to do to grow this amazing organization. But I just wanted to thank you again for coming on.
No, I'm a fan. I was like, what? I'm cutting. It's a Friday. I'm cutting everything
cutting
off. I'm
today.
Coming over here. Yeah, I'm coming. You call me. Anybody don't come, I'll come and replace them as well.
You're too sweet, my love. Thank you so much for coming out again. Again, 35th anniversary, April 25th, 26th, Hostos Community College. Link in the bio to get those tickets. You're going to be treated not only to an amazing dance show, but an amazing night of entertainment, comedy, DJs, pre-gala party. And if you still got it in you, there's an after party too,
yes.
down by Yankee Stadium.
Yes, so the dugout.
The dugout, world famous for the Yankee after parties. So we're going to be there as well. Check us out, kr3ts.com. You can follow Violeta on Instagram. How do they
Violet
find you?
_KR3Ts or KR3Ts Dance Company.
And you can always just tune in, The Sean Martin or Real Mentors Podcast. Either or, we're going to be promoting the hell out of this. I've got a bunch of people coming through. And if you come in that building,
mention you saw it here. They
mention you saw it here, but just more importantly, come with an open mind and open heart. And an open checkbook, because I'm going to be hitting your asses up for a couple dollars. Because even if you want to make a difference and you don't know how, just like I wanted to make a difference and I didn't know how I was going to go about it, you came into my life and gave me an opportunity to do more. And I want people to come in and be entertained, but I want to give them an opportunity to donate or to support a mission that is going to give more than they can do on their own. So they basically can click a link and rest assured that's going to have an impact on somebody's life and hopefully change the trajectory of, you know, their future. And when we change the trajectory of someone's future, we're also changing the trajectory of the lineage that follows them,
yes.
just like you were able to do. And if we go back, your aunt was able to do, your mom
yes.
slash mm-hmm. aunt was able to do for you. She changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then having your oldest change your life, at the time it didn't seem like it was going to be for the good. And I know you still struggle and I know you still go through a lot of shit in 2 a.m. mornings. And
today was 5 o'clock in the
morning.
5 in the morning.
God bless you. I was waking up.
I know.
At
I was
five
like, I know he's gonna be like, Violet, you don't listen. But
well, you look great considering
I do, right?
You're on no sleep.
I don't know how I did it. It's
so,
bad.
As always, thank you, my love, for coming
thank
out.
You.
We're gonna promote the hell out of this, try to pack both nights. And thank you as always for tuning in to the Real Mentors Podcast. We'll see you next week. Let's get it.
I need my shirt. I need one.
She needs a shirt. I'm working
Hello.
On it. I'm working on it. I'll have it for you before that night.
Yes.
Promise. Thank you, my love.
Thank you.